weird shapes, so that the door existed in another set of dimensions entirely. The door sat there, defiantly solid. Sweating, his mind beginning the endless walk up to the blackboard in front of the grinning class, he turned desperately to the lock again. It must be made of little bits of metal, not very heavy. From the grill came the faintest of sounds. It was the noise of wizards untensing themselves and shaking their heads. Someone whispered, "I told you." There was a tiny grinding noise and a click. Rincewind's face was a mask. Perspiration dripped off his chin. There was another click and the grinding of reluctant spindles. Trumon had oiled the lock, but the oil had been soaked up by the rust and dust of years, and the only way for a wizard to move something by magic, unless he can harness some external movement, is to use the leverage of his mind itself. Rincewind was trying very hard to prevent his brain being pushed out of his ears. The lock rattled. Metal rods flexed in pitted grooves gave in, pushed levers. Levers clicked, notches engaged. There was a long, drawn-out grinding noise that left Rincewind on his knees. The door swung open on pained hinges. The wizards sidled out cautiously. Twoflower and Bethan helped Rincewind to his feet. He stood grey-faced and swaying. "Not bad," said one of the wizards, looking closely at the lock. "A little slow, perhaps." "Never mind that," snapped Jigladwort. "Did you three see anyone on the way down here?"
"No," said Twoflower.
"Someone has stolen the octavo."
Rincewind's head jerked up, his eyes focused.
"Who?" "Trumon."
Rincewind swallowed. "Tall man," he said. "Fair hair, looks a bit like a ferret."
"Now that you mention it..."
"He was in my class," said Rincewind. "They always said he'd go a long way."
"He'll go a lot further if he opens the book,"
said one of the wizards, who was hastily rolling a cigarette in shaking fingers.
"Why?" said Twoflower. "What will happen?"
The wizards looked at one another.
"It's an ancient secret, handed down from mage to mage, and we can't pass it on to no less men," said Wirt.
"Oh, go on," said Twoflower.
"Oh, well, it probably doesn't matter any more. One mind can't hold all the spells. It'll break down and leave a hole."
"What, in his head?"
"No, in the fabric of the universe," said Wirt. "He might think he can control it all by himself, but..."
They felt the sound before they heard it. It started off in the stones as a slow vibration, then rose suddenly to a knife-edge whine that bypassed the eardrums and bored straight into the brain. It sounded like a human voice singing or chanting or screaming, but there were deeper and more horrible harmonics. The wizards went pale. Then, as one man, they turned and ran up the steps. There were crowds outside the building. Some people were holding torches. Others had stopped in the act of piling kindling around the walls. But everyone was staring up at the Tower of Art. The wizards pushed their way through the unheeding bodies and turned to look up. The sky was full of moons. Each one was three times bigger than the disk's own moon, and each was in shadow except for a pink crescent where it caught the light of the star. But in front of everything, the top of the Tower of Art was an incandescent fury. Shapes could be dimly glimpsed within it, but there was nothing reassuring about them. The sound had changed now to a wasp-like buzzing, magnified a million times. Some of the wizards sank to their knees.
"He's done it," said Wirt, shaking his head. "He's opened a pathway."
"Are those things demons?" said Twoflower.
"Ugh, demons," said Wirt. "Demons would be a picnic compared with what's trying to come through up there."
"They're worse than anything we can possibly imagine," said Panther.
"I can imagine some pretty bad things," said Rincewind.
"These are worse."
"Oh."
"And what do you propose to do about it?"
said a clear voice. They turned. Bethan was glaring at them, arms folded.
"Pardon?" said Wirt.
"You're wizards, aren't you?" she said. "Well, get on with it."
"What?"
"Tackle that," said Rincewind. "Know anyone else?"
Wirt pushed forward.
"Madam, I don't think you quite understand."
"The dungeon's dimensions will empty into our universe, right?" said Bethan.
"Well, yes."
"We'll all be eaten by things with tentacles for faces, right?"
"Nothing so pleasant, but
are you just going to let it happen?"
"Listen," said Rincewind, "it's all over.